What's up, everyone? Good morning. Good morning. Happy Sunday. We are continuing our series through our core values, and today we're talking about community. We're talking about sacrificial community and what that looks like, what that means. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2. And this is a pretty exciting message because when you think about what a church is, that's really what it is. A church is a community, right? So when we went out to start this church, before we knew anybody out here in Texas, people would say, "You're starting a church. How are you going to do that?" And I still don't know if I have the answer to that question. But what they would say is, "Are you going to get a building? Is that what you do? Do you get a building and then you try to see if people will show up?" It's like, no, church isn't about a building. When we first started the church, we met at a different church actually midweek. Only one of you were there, I think, out of this group. We met at another church and we did a midweek Bible study, and we would just kind of gather and get into God's word. There was only maybe a handful of us, and that was a church. We were a community of people that were assembling together and learning about the things of God. Then we moved outdoors and we were meeting outdoors at the park, and that's where a couple more of you guys showed up. You know, you guys were there. Then we started meeting in our home. And in our home, we were doing ministry. And it's interesting because we still didn't have a building. We still didn't have a church structured building, but we were still a church. We were a community of people that were doing life together, right? The word church in Greek is actually ecclesia, which means an assembly of people. It's an assembly, a gathering. It could be a political term, but in the church, it's a term of people assembled doing God's work. And so today we're going to be talking about how we can be a sacrificial community. That's one of our core values. There's a reason it's there. We've talked about our first value, which was reverence for God. We talked about what it means to revere God and to put him in his proper place. And then Josh preached the following week on the word of God and why we value the word of God, why we hold it up high. Today we're talking about the third value, which is sacrificial community. And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2 and how the early church thrived right after the Holy Spirit came upon the church. And then Peter preached this incredible message. The church started just doing work, and it was incredible to see how they were a family together. And their community was built on three things. And you know, I like to break it down simply because it makes it easier for us to process. I mean, really, their community was built on more things. I'm going to be talking about three today. And it's truth. Their community was built on truth. Their community cared for each other and had love for each other, and they were consistent. They were consistent, okay? When I think of like a business like In-N-Out, they don't focus on like 90 different things, right? They don't put nacho cheese on their burgers, right? They don't have tacos all of a sudden. Like, they sell burgers, the place is clean, and they're fast. That's all they do, right? And so we're going to just be talking about the three things today that make up a sacrificial community: truth, care, and consistency, all right? Let's talk about these things. I'm going to pray before we jump right into the word here. Father God, we're grateful for you. We're grateful for this community that you've brought together. And I pray that as we get into your word right now, that you would convict our hearts, you'd speak to us. And Lord, we would be encouraged by your word to be a stronger community together. God, we honor you. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the first thing we're going to be talking about is truth, how the community was built on the foundation of truth, okay? So Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Let's go ahead and read some of this. Elijah, you want to put it up on the screen? It says, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.'" This is the end of Peter's sermon. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Now check this out. "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common." Okay, so here's the early church. They're all assembling together. They're breaking bread. They're staying steadfast to the apostles' doctrine. They're continuing with each other. They had all things in common. Okay, so it's interesting that they had all things in common. That we read about that idea in Philippians when we were teaching at the park, if you remember, those of you who were there. But sharing all things in common, it's like the Rangers just won the World Series, right? I didn't even know that they were playing. You know what I mean? Like, I had no idea. And then all of a sudden, everyone's celebrating. Like, I'm getting some dirty looks right now. But we can share all things in common because we have Christ in common, right? I was at Costco on a Sunday, and I'm like, dude, it's dead in here, man. This is the greatest. It's Sunday, and it's completely dead. It was the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl was actually happening at that moment. I had no idea. And I'm like, dude, Costco's killing right now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm able to get all my stuff real quick. Some of you are like, dude, what's going on? You know, like, you don't connect with us at all. But it's on God's word that we share all things in common, right? Not on every single specific thing. Some of us like to hunt. Some of us like to fish. Some of us like to play video games. Some of us like to whatever. It doesn't matter what it is that you're into. We share all things in common when we share Christ in common. So they were modeling this early on. They were sharing all things in common, and they were focused on, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Okay, point number one is we should be a community that's built on truth. Now, I think about this. If we're a community together and we're not built on truth, what are we? We're just kind of like a self-help group, right? We're just like a bunch of people that are like, yeah, what's up, man? How you doing? Good to see you. Hope you're doing well. Everything's great, right? Everything's happy. Everything's good, but we're not necessarily speaking truth to each other. I can imagine, like, you know, a guy's like, comes up to me and he's like, hey, man, you know what? It's frustrating. I've been work all day and I come home. I work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and I get home and guess what? The kids aren't wrapping up for bed. The house is a mess. There's toys being thrown everywhere. Dinner's not ready. Dirty dishes in the sink. He's like, my wife's lazy. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on? That woman literally can't do anything right. And, you know, you have two options. You can be like, yeah, man, you're right. Your wife is lazy. She's the worst, you know? My wife's the same way. She never does, you know? You could do that. You could be, like, in agreement with him, or you could speak truth and be like, yeah, dude, you know what? You were with adults all day. She was with kids all day. Did you ask if you could pick up food on the way home? Do some dishes, dude. I understand you were at work, but go home and do some dishes, you know? Roll your sleeves up. Get like, love your wife well. There's a being a community built on truth means that we're willing to make some of those sacrificial statements and comments to each other that might be a little bit offensive, but we'd rather be built on truth than just be a happy-go-lucky community that is friendly towards each other, right? We're not the YMCA, right? We're not like, you know, what some golf club or whatever. Like, we are a church, and it's our obligation to speak truth to each other, to speak into each other's lives, okay? Joshua 1:8 says this. This is like the very beginning. Joshua was Moses's like underling, and he goes out and he's leading the charge on taking all these lands and breaking down the walls of Jericho and slaughtering all these Philistine people or Canaanite people and just like going and taking all this land. And this is what the Lord tells him. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. God wasn't giving him battle plans and strategies. He wasn't telling him what shields and what weapons to fashion and how to lead his army strategically. There were parts of that. But he told him to meditate on his word day and night. It's important that as a community, we are willing to stand on the foundation of the word of God. That's what makes us a church and not just a community. Hey, that's just what makes us a church and not just a social club. So as we go about doing community together, let's open up God's word. Let's read it together. Right? I know recently I was in a community group and someone got a text from somebody else saying, hey, I just feel like I just don't have anything left. I just feel worthless and purposeless. And I just feel like I'm unloved. And I don't even know if I have it in me anymore to keep going. And my first thought was, is this person connected in a community of believers, a community of people that speak truth? Or are they isolated? Are they alone? Are they distant from God's truth? Because we're surrounded by lies. We're surrounded by just absolute garbage in the media. What's happening in the war with Israel and Palestine? Can you look at the media to find out? Absolutely not. Nobody knows. Hospital got blown up. Bunch of people died. And then you find, then there's like new stuff that's like, oh, it didn't even hit the hospital. It was next to the hospital and nobody was in it and it blew up the parking lot. And then it's like, yeah, but it was fired by Israel. They were trying to destroy the hospital in Palestine. It's like, no, actually it was a Hamas missile and you're like, dude, what the heck is even going on? I can't look at the media because I don't even know. So what do I do? What's the truth? Pray for Israel, praying for Israel, praying for peace, praying for all people. Like, we want safety. We just got to go back to the truth, because there's so much lie. There's so many lies out there. So you may not realize this. You may think, I need to get up in the morning and read the Bible, because if I don't, I won't be strong in my faith. But you're actually taking away from the whole community of the whole church as a whole if you're not reading God's word. Because someone else needs you to show up with truth that's going to bless them and minister to them. That's what the community of God is. It's not just personal growth and personal gain so that I can grow closer with Jesus. That's only part of it. You're actually a puzzle piece in the community that is able to bless each other by being in God's word. So that's the first point. Be a community built on truth. Let's be in God's word. Let's sharpen. Let's grow so that we could all minister to each other and really reflect God's people, God's church. Okay, we're going to move on to the next portion here and talk about care and love. So Acts 2:44 says this. Acts 2:44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So check this out. The early church, they came together and they sold all their possessions. Okay, so they went on Facebook Marketplace and they started selling their stuff, right? Like, I got extra donkeys, I got yokes, I got all this good stuff. Like, you start selling it. And they're selling everything, and then they're giving to each other as they have need. And they're going from house to house breaking bread. Like, it was like the first, like, it shows that potlucks are biblical, right? Because they were literally going from place to place, and I could imagine them being like, hey, we're going to you know, Paul's house for dinner. Let's all bring something. Like, I got the appetizer. I got this. Like, let's do Italian tonight, you know? And they're all, like, cooking. And then you could imagine that they're like, let's go to Mary's house tomorrow. And Mary's like, I don't have any money. I don't have any food. They're like, don't worry about it. We're bringing food. We'll cook at your house. Like, they're just going from place to place, cooking, eating, breaking bread, having communion, having fellowship, getting into God's word, staying faithful. And being in community together and caring for each other, right? This is what we should be. The first one was built on truth. The second point is that we should be a community that truly cares for each other. Now, the reason I brought up the three points that I have are not just random. It's actually because without one of them, you end up with something that's lacking. When you have a community without truth, you end up with like a self-help group, like I said. When you have a community without care, you end up as a Pharisee. You're consistent. The Pharisees were consistent. They never missed temple. They never missed time together. They prayed. They were faithful. They knew the truth. They were in God's word. They had chunks of it memorized, books memorized. I mean, these guys were faithful. They wore all the garb, all the gear. They looked the part, but they didn't have care and love. Do you remember when Jesus healed the paralytic that had been paralyzed for like 30 years, Jesus heals him and he says, take up your bed and go home. And the Pharisees stop him and go, wait, who told you to take up your bed? And they go, it was this guy. He healed us. And then they find Jesus. They're like, are you telling this guy to walk with his bed on the Sabbath? And Jesus is like, no, you don't get it. I was like with my dad when we implemented the Sabbath thing. It was so you guys could rest. Like, we're still supposed to still care for people and heal people and take care of them. But they missed that part. They missed what it meant to care. You ever been in a church that's stuffy and Bible heavy and doctrine heavy, but they don't really care and love each other? Right? I know our church isn't bursting at the seams. We got to go to 3 services, 4 services. I get it. But man, we care for each other. I look around and I see people who are like, hey, what do you need? Hey, what can I help you with something? Do you need to borrow something? Hey, I got your back. Do you need me to watch your kids? Like, that's what our community's looking more like as we're spending time together. That's what I want us to look like as we develop and grow. You ever go out to lunch with someone, dinner with someone, and it's awkward when the bill comes? You know what I mean? We've all been there. You know? Some of you are like, no, I don't know what that's like because I just take care of it. Or other people are like, no, I just tell the waiter right away, split the bill so it's not awkward. Or I use the restroom when the bill comes, you know what I mean? And I may or may not come back. My thought is like, if we're meeting together, all right, when I was in high school, I got my first job. And you know when you get your first job in high school, you're wealthy because your paycheck is like yours? Yeah, that day's been long gone in my life. But I remember I had a drawer full of cash because I was a busboy and I'd get tips. So I just had a drawer full of cash in my room, right? It wasn't the most safe way to do it. But I remember when I would take my friends out, we'd go out and get burritos or we'd go out and get pizza. I would buy and I would just buy for all of them. And then the next time we went out, someone else would buy. And I'm like, this is kind of like mathematically working out. Like we'd all split every time. But instead, we get to bless each other. That's kind of cool, right? I get to take care of your meal. Then next time we go out, you get to take care of my meal. We're caring for each other and we're having each other's backs every step of the way. I feel like if someone's like, yeah, let's split the bill, it's like probably because you don't want to hang out again. And that's fine. That's totally fine. But if you're saying, hey, we're probably not going to grab lunch again anytime soon, then that's fine. Let's split the bill. But we're probably not going to set up our next meeting anytime soon, right? But I just feel like, you know, there was a time when we were like, we got the audio equipment for the church and we had all these boxes and styrofoam and everything was packaged. And we ended up driving home before I had the truck, we just had the Kia packed with styrofoam and cardboard, just all this stuff. So we reached out to like 5 neighbors in our community. We're like, hey, do you have extra room in your trash cans? They're like, yeah, we got it. So it's like nighttime and we're driving through our community and we're stopping at each house and shoving trash. And then we go to the next one, shove trash, next one. And it was just hilarious. We probably looked like crazy people, but the thing is within our community, there's this group of believers that we have, and we like all share trash cans, and more than that, right? And even more than that, like we all kind of have each other's backs, and it's really cool to see how we all take care of each other. That's like a little glimpse of what the early church looked like, taking care of each other, having each other's backs, right? Selling everything they had and saying, what do you need? I got you. You know, I got your back. You're struggling. You don't have water this month. Like, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. Hey, you need food? We'll bring some food to your house. Like, you're struggling right now. You just had a baby. We got meals for the next 2 weeks, whatever. Like, let's take care of each other. Let's have each other's backs. That's how we're going to model looking like the early church. Okay, now the last one, which is probably, man, it's like almost like the glue that brings these two pieces together, the truth and the care. This is the glue that brings it together. We need to be consistent in each other's lives. Now, the sermon about showing up typically is not for the people who are here, right? That's the irony of it. So all y'all don't need to listen to this part. But man, it's so important. It's so, so important that we continue to be in each other's lives, that this truth and this care is met with continuity, and that we're being faithful in each other's lives. Let's read this scripture, Acts 2:46. We already read this part, but we'll close 46 and 47. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued daily within one accord, just being one together. They continued. They were faithful. And I know we have our phones, and so we're able to sometimes be so connected. Like, I'm able to be connected with the kid from high school that I haven't talked to in 15 years or whatever. But yet, I'm not necessarily as connected as I would be if we were actually in each other's lives, at each other's homes, doing life together. It's like we're so connected in this generation, but we're so disconnected at the same time. And I feel like it's so important that we're consistent. Like when I think about reading God's word, some of you are reading God's word in the morning and you're getting up and doing it, or at night, and maybe it's like the first time you're doing it. The hardest thing you're going to run into is just being consistent in it. That's it. It's going to be like, there's going to be some spiritual force that your Bible's going to be sitting there, and it's going to be like that repelling magnet. And you're going to be like, I know I need to do it, but I just can't. And then you're going to not do it one day, and then 2 days, and then 3 days, and then all of a sudden 3 weeks goes by and you're like, I got to get back into it. And then finally you're able to break through and rip it open, and you read it and you're like, why haven't I been doing this? God's blowing my mind. I'm being so blessed by just getting into it, but it's so hard to just get into it. And God's saying, just be consistent. Just be faithful. Not every day is going to be rainbows and butterflies and you're going to get the feels, but just keep doing it. Right? What if I was only married to my wife when it felt good? Right? When I was happy? Right? Like, no, being married is a commitment. It's a binding legal covenant that the two of us enter into willingly, saying for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, good times and in bad. When we argue on the way to church, still going to love my wife. Don't feel good, but we're going to do it anyways. We're going to be there for each other. That's what it means to be constant in each other's lives. I don't know if you heard this, but you overestimate what you can do in a year and you underestimate what you can do in a decade. You heard that before? It's true, even saying you overestimate what you can do in a week and underestimate what you can do in a year. You guys think, man, I'll never be able to read the Bible. Okay, not in a day. I mean, some of you are like, challenge accepted, you know, and I actually know some of you who've done it. But it's not about that. It's about being constant, being consistent. I know there was a student I had in my youth group. We were super close, super, super close. And all of a sudden, I felt like there was this distance. You guys know what that's like when you have someone in your life that you're close with, and all of a sudden, there's this weird kind of odd distance that's there. And I remember this student was like pretty important to me. And I'm like, I don't know if I hurt his feelings on something, if I did something wrong. I have no idea. So I texted him and he didn't get back to me. And, you know, a couple days later, I text him again, didn't get back to me. And finally, like, I know his parents, so this isn't weird. It's going to sound weird, but it isn't weird. I like showed up at his house with two burritos. You know what I mean? Just knocked on the door and he answered the door. It's funny because he answered the door without his shirt on. He's like, hey, Mike. I'm like, what's up, man? Go put a shirt on. Let's eat some burritos. You know what I mean? And he put his shirt on. We went into like his kitchen island and just ate burritos and just talked together, you know? And there wasn't any big thing, but it was like there needed to be this consistency, this constant, because I think he was probably going through something and just decided to start distancing, which is so unhealthy. We need to be constant when it comes to being with the people of God. That's how we look like a sacrificial community, is being consistent in each other's lives. I'm gonna put this diagram up. Elijah, you want to put the diagram up? Okay, I made this. I don't do side jobs, PowerPoint side jobs, but if you really want one, reach out to my personal email because, you know, this is, I try to keep my business and personal life separate. But no, I made this on PowerPoint, and this is one of those things where I have our 3 points, and what you end up with is if you have a truth community that's consistent but doesn't care for one another, you have a seminary, you have a Bible college, which is good. That's a good thing, but it's not a church. It's not a sacrificial community. If you have consistency and you have care, then you end up lost in self-help because you're really not going to give people what they need. You're not going to give them the medication they need for the problem that they have if you're not willing to give them truth. You're going to end up supporting their bad behaviors, and that's not truly a community that reflects the church. And if you have a truth community that cares for each other, but you're not consistent in each other's lives, you never end up making any impact. There's no real difference that's made in anybody's life because you're not consistent in it. But when all three come together in harmony, it's the church. You actually have the church. But I'm telling you right now, it's some people struggle so badly with one of these. And I want to just ask you right now, what is that thing? Like only you know, or I know, and I'm not going to tell you. You know, you got to pray, let the Lord tell you. But what's the thing you're struggling with? Is it consistency? Do you have someone that you're like, oh, I want to disciple this person. I want to mentor them. I'm going to reach out to them. And you've done it once. Okay, do it again. Reach out to them again. I want to get into God's word, but I just do it once and then I just forget to do it. Get into God's word and be consistent, be faithful. Are you lacking care? That one you got to be really honest with yourself with. But man, are you focused on truth and you're consistent, but you truly haven't gone that extra step to care and love the people that you're around? Or are you just needing to ground deeper in God's truth? That's a tough thing. I mean, the word of God is sharp, two-edged sword. It cuts. If you're going to stand before God and you're going to read his truth and you're going to open up God's word and read it, you're opening yourself up to surgery And there's some things that you believe that God's going to say, I'm going to challenge that. And I'm going to wreck you a little bit sometimes. Sometimes you get punched in the face when you read God's word. Sometimes you get encouraged and you get built up. But you're exposing yourself to that. But I'm telling you right now, if you're a caring person and you're consistent and you're loving and you're kind, but you're not willing to dive into God's truth, you're going to be less effective in helping the community. So be willing to get into God's word. Grow in your understanding. It's going to change your life if you're willing to do these things. So just in closing, step one, grow in your understanding of truth, right? Read the Bible. It's going to just change your life if you haven't done it. It'll absolutely blow your mind. Get into God's word. Step two, I wrote this down. Be the friend you want your friends to be. That's what, when it comes to care, be the friend you want your friends to be. The things that you're unhappy with your friends about, do those things you wish they did to them. It may end up being reciprocated. Care, love, call, text, show up, be there, be that friend. And step three, prioritize being with this community. And if it's not this community, be with a community of people that love the Lord, that are rooted in truth, but be there. Like, show up, prioritize it. Don't prioritize, you know, sports. Don't prioritize. I mean, like with the disciples, it was life or death. It was, man, we're going to be together and we're going to break bread together and we're going to share a meal together and we're going to eat. We're going to get into God's word and then we're going to take communion and we're going to go out and share your word. And James might not come back next time because he might get killed. So let's enjoy it while we've got it. It was life or death for them. And for us, it's like, I don't know. I got an early morning on Monday. And I don't know if I want to have two early mornings in a row, you know, it's kind of hard. Or you know what I mean? Like I have a friend who's in from out of town, you know, and so I can't. And it's like, you know, it's like, I get it. Things come up. But man, let's prioritize being in each other's lives. Not so we can have good church attendance, but because your friends then, the people in this room can rely on each other. We're not on an island. We're not alone. We're together. We're in each other's lives. So, in closing, I want us to put that slide up, Elijah, the community one. We're going to leave this up just so you can scan it at your convenience, the community one. Yeah, there we go. And you guys, it's awkward to walk up here and scan your phone. I get it, but it's on the TV back there too. Scan your phone. It'll pop up a little, like, you know, survey monkey, I think. And you can just fill it out. It's a few questions. We're trying to gather interest if you're wanting to be in a community. But I'll tell you right now, like, if we don't start a new community group until January, no excuses. Come to me and be like, hey, I want to get into God's word. Let's do it. And we'll do it. I'll sacrifice time to just go and do it. We'll be in it together. Like, let's be the community of God. There's no excuses. Let's gather together. Let's share a meal. Let's get into God's word. Let's be the church. I don't want to put any barriers in the way of you feeling like you can represent the church and the community of God. Let's be God's people together. That's why sacrificial community is a core value here at Revive Church. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word and thank you for your truth. God, I think it's so symbolic, Lord, that you sent your spirit to fill your church, Lord, that Peter gave this sermon based on your word and your truth, that many people were saved. And immediately your people started representing what the community of God should look like. Sacrificing for each other, loving each other, selling their possessions and giving to each other as anybody had need. Staying faithful in doctrine. Caring for each other, opening up their homes. And just truly reflecting the love of Jesus. God, I pray that each person here would be impacted by that. That story wouldn't just be an old story in the book of Acts, but Lord, it would be the most real, relevant story in our lives today. God, we all go to work. Many of us go to work. Some of us take care of kids, and that's work. We all have our work, but Lord, work can come and go. Kids grow up, they move out. Jobs, you businesses close. Switch jobs, things happen, but Lord, your truth remains and your church is your bride. It doesn't change. It's there. We are your people, God. I pray that we would truly reflect the early church. Your spirit would flow through us, God. We'd hold each other accountable. We'd be built on truth. We'd truly love each other, and we would be consistent, be there for each other in each other's lives, Lord. So God, we honor you. We love you. We're grateful for your truth, for your presence, and for your church, God. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you this. We had people sign up to show up to the Christmas parade meeting, so we ordered like a bunch of pizza so we could feed everybody in this room. So if you want to go, that's totally fine. You guys can go, be blessed. But if you want to hang around and eat pizza with us, we're going to just be talking about the Christmas parade and some things we could do. Hang around, all right? All right, God bless y'all.